We've been hearing this week about economic thinkers long dead whose ideas and influence live on. These philosophers are having a very lively effect on the political debate of today. We've heard about fiscal conservatives Ayn Rand and Friedrich Hayek. This morning, a man whose prescription for climbing out of economic slumps was a strong dose of government intervention. NPR's David Wellna has this profile of the late British economist Sir John Maynard Keynes.
On his deathbed, the year after World War II ended, John Maynard Keynes is said to have remarked that his only regret in life was that he did not drink more champagne. For Keynes, consumption, economic or otherwise, was what made the world go round.
John Maynard Keynes wrote the book on modern macro, the man you need when the economy's off track.
A long-dead British lord and economic theorist seems an unlikely subject for a rap video. But this one made last year by George Mason University economist Russ Roberts and filmmaker John Popola has gotten nearly 3 million hits. There's not much that survives of Keynes' own spoken words, but he can be heard in this old British newsreel delivering a stern admonition.
We must free ourselves from the bondage of old ideas.
And one of the old ideas Keynes sought most to debunk was the notion that economies in trouble would naturally fix themselves thanks to the magic of the marketplace. Princeton economist Alan Blinder says Keynes put his finger on a key economic problem, namely insufficient demand leads to growing unemployment.
That's very simple, that if there aren't enough buyers, the sellers won't produce. And if they don't produce, they don't hire workers. And if they don't hire workers, the workers don't have income. And if the workers don't have income, they can't buy stuff.
You see, it's all about spending. Hear the register, cha-ching. Circular flow, the dough is everything. So if that flow is getting low, doesn't matter the reason. We need more government spending. Now it's stimulus season, so forget about it.
Keynes was, after all, an economist of crises. The economic stimulus he prescribed for an ailing economy, he made clear, was merely a short-term remedy. In the long term, he wrote, we're all dead. In Keynes's seminal 1936 book, The General Theory of Employment, Interest, and Money, he argued that markets do indeed fail, and that if individuals or private enterprise cannot or will not spend in the short term, then the government must to boost employment. Again, Princeton's Blinder.
The first priority, in Keynes's view, is to get the economy moving in the short run, so that we have a bigger economy later.
Because what Keynes really hated was to see money that could be lent not being lent, or people who wanted jobs not finding jobs.
Keynes' top objective was to reemploy resources that were not being utilized.
That's economist Jared Bernstein. He's a self-avowed Keynesian who, until earlier this year, was Vice President Joe Biden's top economic advisor. For Bernstein, Keynesian economics amounts to the government doing all it can to foster job creation.
It's government spending in the context of creating jobs, utilizing underutilized resources. If you're making weapons or if you're hiring school teachers, it amounts to the same thing in the context of a Keynesian framework.
Keynes developed his theories in the midst of the worldwide depression of the 1930s. They had a broad impact. At the 1933 inauguration of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the new president declared the primary task facing the United States was to put people to work.
It can be accomplished in part by direct recruiting by the government itself, treating the task as we would treat the emergency of a war, but at the same time, through this employment, accomplishing greatly needed projects to stimulate and reorganize the use of our great natural resources.
For many decades after the Great Depression, American leaders, both Democratic and Republican, followed Keynes's prescription of government intervention to boost sagging economies. As recently as 2009, a newly inaugurated President Obama went before Congress to make the case for more government spending to curb growing unemployment.
I reject the view that says our problems will simply take care of themselves. It says government has no role in laying the foundation for our common prosperity. For history tells a different story.
The president did get an economic stimulus package, albeit smaller than he requested, from a Congress controlled by Democrats. But ever since Republicans took over the House this year, the emphasis on Capitol Hill has switched to controlling deficit spending. Still, economist Bernstein says the Obama administration has remained true to Keynesian thinking.
Just look at the American Jobs Act. It's a $447 billion stimulus program, and they may not want to label it that because of political reasons, but certainly the measures in there would be very recognizable to Keynes as precisely the right way to help temporarily offset the contraction in private sector demand.
Nonsense, say congressional Republicans. North Carolina Senator Richard Burr bashed the president's jobs plan last month in the GOP's weekly address.
Some in Washington, including the president, are suggesting that we simply spend more money. We've already tried that. It did not spur job growth then, and it won't now.
John Maynard Keynes absolutely knew nothing about economics.
That was Texas governor and GOP presidential hopeful Rick Perry doing a little Keynes bashing during a swing through Iowa last August.
Two times now in American history, we've had this country go through an experimentation with Keynesian economics. And I will tell you, particularly in this latter attempt, it has been a huge experiment that has failed miserably for the American people.
Perry spoke shortly after Congress enacted a big deficit reduction plan as part of a deal to raise the debt ceiling. As that budget-cutting legislation reached the Senate floor for a vote, Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin greeted it with a lament.
We are having the final interment of John Maynard Keynes. He nominally died in 1946, but it appears now that we are going to put him to his final rest with this agreement.
Later, outside the Senate chamber, I asked Durbin to elaborate.
What I was referring to is the fact that we decided to cut spending, despite the fact that we're deep in a recession. Every economist that I respect and talk to says that there are things that government can do to move the economy forward. The president's jobs bill is a good illustration. So this notion of cutting spending in a recession, I think it just makes it worse.
Deficits could be the cure you've been looking for. Let the spending soar now that you know the score.
For Keynes, running budget deficits during a slump was a lesser evil than slashing budgets and letting unemployment rise. Princeton's Blinder acknowledges Keynes' influence may have waned, at least for the moment. But the British thinker's ideas, he says, are a long ways from dead.
If we go back to recession in the United States and in the world, I'm quite confident you're going to see governments around the world turn to Keynesian policies.
Just as there are no atheists in a foxhole, Blinder adds, hard times have made a Keynesian of many a free marketeer. As former President Richard Nixon once put it some 30 years ago, I am now a Keynesian.
Say it loud and say it proud. We're all Keynesians now.
David Wellner, NPR News.
John Maynard Keynes wrote the book on modern macro, the man you need when the economy's off track. Depression, recession, now your question's in session. Have a seat and I'll school you in one simple lesson. Boom, 1929, the big crash. We didn't bounce back, economy's in the trash. Persistent unemployment, the result of sticky wages.